God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to Revelation. I'm so glad you've joined me today as we continue our lesson, Thrive in Your Finance. Last week we began seeing how God wants to bless you in your finances. And there was so much truth from God's Word, we couldn't fit it all into one lesson. So I'm back again today with part two of this amazing and dramatic lesson that will see a turnaround in your financial condition. Let's go to the studio right now as we study Thrive in Your Finance Part 2. May God bless you as you listen and obey His Word. That brings us to our second truth today. God entrusts us with some things. You see, God owns all things, but He entrusts us with some of those things during our stay on earth. He doesn't ever really give them to us as our permanent possession. He lends them to us to use and to guard and to enjoy. We came with nothing into this world and we will leave with nothing. Listen to Ecclesiastes 5:15. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. And all that passes through our hands in between birth and death is just on loan entrusted to us from God. This truth reminds me of the story about the rich man who wanted to have money with him after he died, in case he needed it. He asked his three best friends to keep some money for him. One was a lawyer, one was a doctor, and one was a pastor. The rich man gave each of his three friends $100,000 cash and told them that when he died, they were to put the cash money in his suit coat pocket in an envelope. That way, he would be sure to have enough funds in the afterlife in case he needed it. Well, at the funeral, the three friends all went to the coffin and each one put an envelope in the pocket of the dead man's coat. Then the coffin was closed and the man was buried in the ground. After the funeral, the three friends stood and talked. "I have a confession to make," said the pastor. "I needed money for my church building, so I took $20,000 from the total. I put the rest of the money in the envelope. At least my friend has $80,000 cash to spend. I'm sure that's enough." "Well, I too have a confession," the doctor said. "I needed to build a new wing at my hospital, so I took $50,000 from the cash. I put the rest of the money in the envelope and left it in the suit pocket of my friend. I'm sure $50,000 cash would be okay for him." Well, the lawyer had heard the two friends and he was surprised. "Gentlemen," he said, "I'm very shocked that you would put less money in the envelope than what was given to you by our friend. I want you to know that I put the entire $100,000 in the envelope." "Really?" the pastor said. "You put the entire $100,000 in the envelope?" "Yes," the lawyer said. "I wrote him a check." Friend, you can't cash a check in heaven. But you can't use cash either. Even gold won't buy something in heaven, for gold is ordinary paving stone in the New Jerusalem. You came to the world naked, and naked you will go. You can't take any cash or jewelry or checks or bonds or stocks or buildings or vehicles with you. The fact is, God entrusts us with some of the things He owns. The problem is, many people get stuck on the last two words, "with some," because we want more. "Why did He entrust me with so little?" we think. "Why didn't God give me more?" And we become unhappy and we start to complain and become discontent. Dissatisfaction with our amount of things is actually discontent with God. The children of Israel complained and wanted more, more meat, more water, more everything. But they reached their greatest height of abundance when they walked in God's ways and allowed Him to bless them because of their obedience. See, friends, there are only two ways to get more in your life. You can take it from others or receive it from God. There's no other way to get more. That's it. Take it from others or receive it from God. And if you don't believe God owns all things, then you will think you can only get more by taking from others. And sadly, this description of people has even entered the church today. People have no faith in God. They don't believe His generosity. They have no patience with the ways of God. They're not yielded to the Lord, so they will never accept what He has given to them. They will fight and cheat and lie and steal and dupe and defraud because they want to take from other people because they don't have faith in God. And killers have become kingdom achievers. Blood-stained wealth is in the church of Jesus Christ. Blood money is in the church. Blood-stained victory is in the church. And there are those who say, it doesn't matter who I destroy. I just want to succeed. And even people who claim to be Christians will betray and do whatever it takes to have their way. But friend, that's not thriving. For no matter how you may appear to succeed, when you get your wealth through evil and dishonest means, you will never be at peace. You will never be at rest. You may have all the goods in Africa, but your soul will be tormented. Do you remember the terrible earthquake that struck Japan about 2 years ago? Many people died, and even more people lost their homes and property. But listen to this news report from Japan that tells us about the response of the people there. In the 5 months since a devastating earthquake struck, Japanese police say they've received $78 million in missing cash and valuables that citizens have found in the rubble and promptly returned and turned into the police. Thousands of missing wallets containing $48 million in cash and nearly 6,000 more safes were turned in by volunteers, the Japanese police have said. Friend, if the Japanese can be so honest and find money on the ground and still return it to the police, and the vast majority of them are not Christians, then why can't we here in Africa who claim to be Christians be honest as well? Less than 1% of the Japanese are Christians. Out of a room of 1,000, only about 4 would be believers in Jesus. But here we in Africa boast about our faith in God. We boast about our love for Jesus. We have our big, big cathedrals. Meanwhile, we rob and steal and kill one another. There is blood money even in the hands of pastors, prophets, bishops, and apostles. But to thrive in your finances means you receive it from God according to His way and His plan. That's why Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." It's God's blessing that makes me rich, not stealing and stabbing others in the back. It's God's blessing that makes me prosper, not lying and duping people. See, friends, when I thrive in my finance, it's more than just material blessings. I thrive in my finance when I know it's God who gave it to me. It's not me grabbing or cheating. It's not me forcing my way. It's a faith in God who generously and freely gives me all things to enjoy because He loves me. It's the knowledge that when I do His will and when I follow His ways, I will prosper and thrive and flourish, because that's the kind of God I serve. It's the peace that comes from knowing I don't own anything. It all belongs to my Father in heaven, and He can never lose it. He shares it with me, and I am blessed. And I'm free when I believe this truth. All that I am and all that I have belongs to God and has been temporarily entrusted to me to manage according to His wishes. Just say that with me. It's on your screen right now. All that I am and all that I have belongs to God and has been temporarily entrusted to me to manage according to His wishes. That's exactly what the Word of God teaches us in Leviticus 25:23. The land really belongs to me, so you can't sell it for all time. You are only travelers and tenants, living for a while on my land. Did you hear what God said? We're just travelers and tenants. And even the wealth we gain from our own hard work is actually a gift on loan to us from God. Deuteronomy 8, 17 to 18 says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." There's an old-fashioned word in the Bible that defines this concept for us. It's the word steward. It literally means that we are entrusted with something that belongs to someone else. We are stewards of the sum that God has entrusted to us. For 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." That brings us to our second financial concept. Our financial breakthrough concept number two is this: our generosity is the visible expression of our love for God. Let me say that again. Our generosity is the visible expression of our love for God. You see, remember our first concept was God's generosity is His visible expression of love to us. But our generosity is a visible expression of our love to Him. See, we're not afraid to be seen giving. We don't give to be seen, but we pay our tithe and we give offerings because when we do, we're saying, "Jesus is my Lord. I declare He owns me and all I have belongs to Him." My tithe is not a boast about how wealthy I am. It's a declaration of my allegiance and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in the generosity of God, and you believe that He owns all things, and you believe that He has graciously and generously and freely entrusted some of those things to you, then you will want to use them as God desires. You'll want to return His love by being generous to God and others. Listen to these two powerful passages from Proverbs. First, Proverbs 19:17. "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done." And then Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Friend, when we give to others, we're actually giving to God. In fact, that's why God blesses us so generously. He rewards us and pours out on us so that we can have even more and become like Him. We can continue to spread His love through the world by becoming generous givers as God is. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." God blesses us to raise our standard of giving, not just to raise our standard of living. Do you ever dream of what you would do if you became rich? Maybe you think, "When I get money, I'm going to buy a big car." You may think, "When I get rich, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to buy an iPhone. I'm going to fly to New York or London." But God is looking for people who say, "When I get rich, I'm going to build God's kingdom. When I get more money, I'm going to help Pastor Whitcomb on television." Amen. God wants to bless you, not just so you can keep acquiring more things, but so that you can be a blessing to others, so He can bless you more, and you can bless more people, and He can bless you more, and you can bless more people. Hallelujah. And that brings us to our third and final truth today. God blesses generous stewards. See, you have a choice. Even though God owns it all, He doesn't force you to use it wisely. He offers you the choice. You can waste all the resources He gives you and end up in poverty. You can spend it or you can invest it. But there are consequences for our choices. When we're good stewards, we get more blessed. But when we fail to be good stewards, we're cursed. God calls on us to pay our tithes and give offerings. His deal is the best in the world. There's no one else who offers us that great of a return. God only asks us to give Him 10% back in the tithe. "If you take money from me, I'll charge you interest. If you borrow from a bank, and they'll take your house, your child, they'll take all you have." But God gives us all these things freely and generously to enjoy. And then He says, "Just give me 10% back. Listen to Malachi 3, 8 to 10. Will a person rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for all of it. God doesn't say, rob me less. He says, don't rob me at all. Pay the full tithe. Some people are paying a portion of the tithe, but God is not going to accept that. It does no good to pay part of your tithe. You're still robbing God. If you pay most of it and think that that will earn you His favor, you are deceived. The church today is like the temple of old. The church today is the place where we're to bring our tithes and give our offerings. But do we really pay the full tithe in church today? Reminds me of the story of a church in a village in a cocoa-producing region of the country. Most of the members of the church were cocoa farmers. One day, the church treasurer went on transfer, and the church needed a new treasurer. No one wanted the job. The church was heavily in debt. They could barely pay their pastor. They needed a new roof, new instruments, and new chairs. But they had no money for any of those things. Finally, one brother agreed to serve as the church treasurer. He could only act as the church treasurer part-time because he also had a full-time job. You see, during the day, he was working at the cocoa board. He was the one who weighed the cocoa when the farmers brought their produce for sale. But this man agreed to serve as church treasurer at night and on weekends. However, he had two very strange conditions that he insisted the church agree to before he would start to serve. First, no treasurer's report would be given for the first year. And second, that no questions would be asked about finances during that year. Well, the people were surprised, but because they were desperate, they finally agreed that they would allow this man to serve as the church treasurer. After all, most of them did business with him, and they trusted him. Well, to their surprise, at the end of the year, he gave this report. The church indebtedness of 28,000 Ghana cedis has been paid. The minister's salary had been increased by 10%. The church had put on a new roof, bought new equipment, and bought new chairs, and there were no outstanding bills. In fact, there was a cash balance of 1,252 Ghana cedis. Well, the congregation was shocked, and they said, "How did you do it? Where did you get the money from?" And then the treasurer answered, "When all of you brought your cocoa to the station to be weighed, I simply, secretly withheld 10% on your behalf and gave it to the church in your name. You never even missed it. And do you see now what we could do for the Lord if we were all willing to pay our tithe and give 10% to God, who really owns it all anyway?" And so the new treasurer had made his point. Friend, if everyone who attended church paid the full tithe, all the needs of every church would be met. See, friends, if you will be a generous steward, you will be blessed. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you." Here's another verse that teaches us the same truth, found in Proverbs 22:9. "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." And that gives us financial breakthrough concept number 3. Generous living produces emotional happiness, spiritual holiness, and material prosperity. Let me say that again. Generous living produces emotional happiness, spiritual holiness, and material prosperity. Listen to Deuteronomy 24:19. "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Proverbs 11:24 and 25 says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Friend, remember, God owns it all. He entrusts some of it to us. And as he's freely and generously given to us, we've got to do the same as well. For the more we give, the more he blesses us, and the greater glory will abound to the name of the Lord God Almighty. I want to encourage you today, don't give out of guilt. Don't give out of duty. Don't give to try to win the favor of God. Give because you're following a generous God. Give because you want to be like him. Give because he loved you first. And it's your chance by giving to turn around and say, Lord, thank you. I love you. My offering is my declaration that you own all things. As we prepare to close today, I want to share a fascinating truth about a people. In the nation of Mexico, there lives a people called the Mazatec people. If you visit them and stay with them for a few days, you'll discover something unusual about these beautiful people. They never wish anyone well. They never say, God bless you, or I hope you have a good day. What's more, if you ask someone how he learned his trade, he will simply tell you, no one taught me, I just know how to do this. For example, if you ask the man who bakes bread, who taught him to bake, he will simply say, I just know it, meaning he gained the knowledge on his own without any help. Why do the Mazatec people behave so oddly? It's for one simple reason. The Mazatecs believe in a concept of limited good. They believe that there's only so much good in life, only so much knowledge, only so much blessing, that there's a limited amount of love to go around. And therefore, according to their beliefs, when you give away good, or you give away a blessing, then you lose it from yourself. To teach another means you might drain yourself of knowledge. To love a second child means there's less love for your first child. To wish someone well, have a good day, means you've just given away some of your own happiness, which you cannot get back again. Imagine what it's like living in such a culture. Obviously, that type of wrong belief limits progress for anyone. No one wants to teach anyone else. No one wants to love anyone else. No one wants to show care or comfort lest they lose some happiness for themselves. Now, it's easy for us here in Africa to laugh at such strange beliefs. Here in Africa, we don't believe that we lose blessing when we say, God bless you, to someone. We don't believe we lose value when we teach others. And yet, if we're honest today, there is a way in which we are often guilty of the same attitude as the Mazatec people. Oftentimes, we're reluctant for someone else around us to get ahead, as if their own progress will keep us behind. And when it comes to holding on to our own blessings, we can indeed be very stingy sometimes. We tend to think, what I have, I must keep. I've got to safeguard my money and not share it with others, lest I lose it. But let's remember our three truths to thrive in our finance. Number one, God owns all things. Generosity begins with God. It is the visible expression of his great love for us. Number two, God entrusts us with some things. Our generosity to others is the visible expression of our love for God. And number three, God blesses generous stewards. Generous living produces emotional happiness, spiritual holiness, and material prosperity. I encourage you today to live a generous life, to live a life that gives without limit to God and to others. For as you do that, you will begin to experience God's blessings on your life as never before. God will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you so great you won't even be able to contain it. You will thrive in your finance. You'll have fullness of life because you've been generous as God is. And God is no man's debtor. God will always give you more than you give to him, for he is a generous God. Let me take a moment right now to pray with you. Perhaps you're in a financial difficulty. You've got a need right now. I know that God can meet that need. And I know as you begin to put these truths into practice, he will hear your prayer and turn your finance around. Almighty and everlasting Father, I lift up everyone today listening to this broadcast, listening to this teaching on thrive in your finance. And I pray you'll give them a breakthrough financially. Lord, I pray you'll give them the courage and the strength and the faith to begin to put your truth into practice today. That, Lord, they will see you as generous. And that, Lord, they will want to know and understand and acknowledge that everything they have is only entrusted to them by you for a season. And that, Father, because of those two truths, they will return and become generous givers to you and to others. So that, Father, you might open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon them. I bind every work of the devil that would come to steal the seed of the word out of our hearts. I bind the spirits of darkness that would come to try to hinder our finance. And I loose the blessing of God upon the obedient children of the Lord this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, thank you for joining me today. I believe God is at work helping you to thrive. Don't forget, you can go to my website, www.revrcw.com, to listen to all the episodes of Revelation, to get the sermon notes and the study guide. And also, don't forget to tune in on this day, at this time, on this station next week, for another lesson in our Thrive teaching series, right here on Revelation, the classroom of the air. Until next week, may God richly bless you. I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye for now.
Into the darkness. It's another opportunity for you to worship God. Come join Heartsong on the 17th of March, 6 p.m. for a night of adoration. Theme is the battle cry of praise. No matter your situation, come join us, praise our God. See you there.
This program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at the same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.